Welcome back to Digital PR Explained. I'm your host, Britt Klontz, and today I have Chris Ann Valdez with me. Chris Ann is a freelance journalist whose reporting explores modern parenthood, workplace culture, psychology, and purposeful travel. She often writes features that help readers navigate complicated life decisions. And Chris Ann's work has been featured in Fast Company, Success Magazine, Business Insider, Good Housekeeping, Parents, Scary Mommy. The list goes on. And outside of journalism, Chris Ann is raising three kids. And she's also working on a long-form fiction book that will debut next year. And another fun fact, Chris Ann also runs a Substack called The Guide Girl, where she shares submission opportunities and reporting tips for writers. We'll link to that into the show notes if you all want to check it out and subscribe. Welcome to the podcast, Chris Ann.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to speak with you today.
I'm so excited to have you here. I know today we're going to talk about something that I personally think every PR professional should hear, and that's why a pitch that doesn't get used today can still lead to coverage later, and how journalists like yourself actually sort through dozens of expert responses that they receive on platforms such as Quoted. There are dozens out there, and what PRs can do to help their pitches stand out. You shared, before our conversation, you shared a really interesting example with me about a story you were writing for Success Magazine, and it's about the psychology of gift giving. And what stood out to me is that you mentioned you received 22 pitches on that story, which is a lot of pitches for one request. Can you walk us through what that experience was like on your end?
Yeah, so I've been using Quoted for about a year and a half, and I now shut down my pitches quicker than that. But that is an example, if you don't shut down your pitches quick enough, how many, the volume that you typically receive. And the problem too is that there's normally a lot of quality in there. There are just a lot of really great experts who will fit your topic. And so it can make it pretty difficult to choose who you're going to work with. So yeah, so that's not to discourage PR and experts, but we do get a lot of pitches, and a lot of times they are quality. So it becomes a little bit of a numbers game, but that's why I wanted to come on today and just share some strategies to help them stand out in that slush pile.
Perfect. I'm here for the strategies. I know Quoted, like every journalist and writer that uses Quoted, I feel has different preferences, but at the same time, I know there are some general practice guidelines that PRs can take into consideration. I'm curious because you mentioned that you shut down the opportunities a bit quicker these days. Can you say more about that? Like how that's changed and what your current process is for reviewing pitches?
Yeah, I just get overwhelmed with 22 pitches to look through.
I totally understand. Yeah.
So I typically start shutting it down around 7 or 8. I do that as a courtesy to PR and experts that they don't waste their time pitching me if I've already had a couple stand out. I like to typically work with 3 or 4 experts max in a story. Other than that, it gets pretty bogged down. So once I have those leads, then I do shut it down. Sometimes it's nice to have 1 or 2 extra ideas in case a PR or expert isn't available to meet my timeline and I can move on to the next person. It is difficult because sometimes you'll get a really good pitch after you shut it down. Even though you indicate you have enough, a lot of times people will still try to slide their pitch in, and they're quality pitches, and I feel bad that I can't use them in that scenario. But it is, like I said, a little bit of a numbers game.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, just as a user of Quoted, I always encourage my clients personally to try to get responses in as soon as possible. That's not always going to happen, but communicating that urgency or like timeliness is a factor that helps contribute to the success of that expert or that commentary being used. But I will say, when I do not meet the deadline, or when my client and myself do not meet the deadline, I still do share that response, because I believe that it's, I mean, I like to hope that journalists might come across it in the future. And I think the example you shared with me really resonated with me, because I was like, this is exactly what I hope happens when I share commentary that's past the deadline. So do you want to go into what you think makes a good pitch unquoted? Because I know you already shared some tips with me in an email, but how about you run down what you feel for my listeners makes a good pitch unquoted?
Sure, I would love to do that. So for me as a journalist, I love when a pitch is friendly and warm. I'm a human, so when you introduce yourself and just take a moment to ask me how my day is or say good afternoon, that can go a long way instead of just jumping right into your pitch. You'd be surprised sometimes how quickly people just get to the point. So just taking an extra second to be warm and friendly goes a long way. Sometimes I will have an expert or PR person reach out to me via email and completely disregard the quoted thread. I think that's odd, and it doesn't help me stay organized. I like all my, you know, it, when I create a pitch request form, it keeps them all together in one area. So if you go and pitch me on an email, then I don't have like them all organized. So I don't appreciate that. However, if you pitch me unquoted and then you find me on LinkedIn and just send an extra message and say, hey, I've pitched you, this is who I am again, that does added visibility. And I don't mind when people do that. And it, honestly, it works a lot of times for me. Like if you've gone the extra mile to find me there and comment again, now you're not just a name, you know, in a long list of pitches I've received. Now I've put a face to a name and you've become just more real to me. And so that does work. And again, that may just be my own preference, but that's something I found that can be pretty effective. I also really appreciate when an expert or PR person has offered me up attributions and links to this person's profile right away. That just saves time on the back end instead of me having to go and ask like, hey, how would they like to be addressed in the article? Do you have a website that I can link to? When you just give that to me up front, that's super helpful. And I take notice that you're somebody who's organized and ready to go. If I have a deadline and you're respectful of that, that's helpful. And I'll want to work with you again. Sometimes I'll get a really great pitch, but then the PR person realizes that their expert actually isn't available. They're on vacation or something else, and it just slows down the process. It is difficult. As a journalist, a lot of times I have a quick deadline, and so I'm asking for a lot very quickly, and I understand that, but it is just helpful if you've noticed my deadline and know that you're able to meet that deadline. I will say as well that I receive a lot of pitches, and so it's helpful to be one of the first. Like, timeliness matters here. Again, it's a numbers game. So if you're one of the first people to pitch me, I'm likelier to see it and form a connection with you than if you're like the 10th person to email me. Let's see. Oh, and I like when a PR team or person pitches me, and then maybe it's gone well and they've been in the story and they reach out to me and say, hey, like, I'd love to work together again. Here are some other experts I represent. Here are some other story angles. I welcome that. Like, that a lot of times leads to more stories for me. So I'd never be afraid to take that extra step and to say like, hey, can we exchange emails? Can I put you on, you know, my list? It just, to me, like, that's building connection. So I really do welcome that, and I think other journalists do as well.
That's really great to hear. That's a practice that I try to do as often as possible, especially when I work with someone who's so receptive and, you know, everything went well. And it's nice and refreshing to hear that that is, I don't know, like, acceptable from a journalist's perspective.
Yeah. Freelancer, I have to come up with all my own stories and pitch them. So when you come to me and say like, hey, I've got these experts, and you go the extra mile and say like, here's some ideas that fit with, you know, your beats and what you represent, that's helpful for me. And it really does a lot of times end up in a story that I've placed. So it's, you know, it's another story for me placed, and it's an expert for you that you were able to, you know, get coverage for. So it goes both ways. It's a win-win.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, very cool. And then I think you mentioned it before, but you appreciate too when people connect with you on LinkedIn. Just to reiterate, you do not like emails outside of quoted, if that's where you put the request, because that's just a preference of yours, but you do appreciate LinkedIn connections.
Yeah. And I noticed... Email me if, like, we've already established a relationship on quoted. Does that make sense? But, like, if you completely bypass quoted and just like find my email and say like, hey, I saw this on quoted, that to me is just like you're not honoring the way the game is played. I don't know.
I think there's like quoted guidelines too against that. But yeah, so that's good to flag. And the LinkedIn component, I do that often. So it's good to know that that's something that you appreciate, because I do wonder sometimes if it's a bit too much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, it's like a numbers game, right? When you're just another face, like I've gotten 8-10 pitches in a row, and they're all quality experts. They're all niche. Like, it's really tough for me to decide who to work with. It feels like a little bit of pressure. And so when you go on LinkedIn and message me, and then I can see that expert's profile there, I can kind of get to know them a little bit better. It just ups your chances that I'm going to pick you.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And speaking of a numbers game and the hot topic that everybody talks about these days, AI, you mentioned to me in an email that you get that AI is useful, but it's really worth mentioning that quoted now lets journalists flag AI responses. What particular advice do you have for PRs on that topic? I think it's important to hear that from you.
Yeah, you have to be really careful. I had two experts, they were both psychologists, and the topic was how to protect your peace in 2026. It was one of those January articles. And I had two experts email me almost the exact same scenarios of like how to protect your peace. And so I knew right then they had just gone into ChatGPT and like said, like, what would you do? Right. And then like they're experts. So they like sign off on it. Yeah, I'm a psychologist. I agree with that. And then sent it to me. And so right away I knew both of them had used it and they hadn't really personalized it enough. So if you're going to use AI, I get that it's a useful tool and it makes everything faster, but make sure that your expert or you as the PR is personalizing it again, like making sure that it's niche to you and your voice. And so that I'm not going to look at it and say like, oh, I've already heard this three times. Because if I'm asking for a very specific piece of advice to be given to me and you've just put it in AI, like there's chances are it's going to spit out the same thing again, right, with the next person. So you have to like be aware of that enough to make it unique to you again.
Yeah. I mean, I have the biggest fear of getting flagged. not that I even use AI in that way, but I think it's just so important to be aware that like you need to be a human and you need to be submitting unique responses that actually are in response to the queries that are being put out there and are unique and helpful and reflect the expertise and the unique capabilities and thinking of that expert, so you don't get flagged as an AI bot.
Yes, yeah, get flagged.
Yeah.
We can see it on our end. Like every time someone submits a post and they've been flagged before, it says it on the bottom left corner, this person has been flagged. So it really hurts your chances of getting picked up again.
Definitely. And then there was one other thing that I thought was very cool, and I know other PRs might love to hear this. You really like data studies.
I do. I love a good data study. When I'm writing research articles that are very, you know, heavy on data, when you've like come to me and you've given me links to studies that your expert wants to reference when they're emailing me, and you've like laid it all out for me and like attached them, you have gone the extra mile, and I am so much more likely to choose you because I don't have to go digging for all of that myself, and it saves me time, and it also just makes your expert look like they really know their stuff and that they're, you know, they've deep dived into this topic. So that is just like the chef's kiss for me.
I like that a lot, because I thought that maybe a data study meant as well like more proprietary data that they actually did themselves. But you are talking about data that's out there that supports the topic that they could speak to and is like publicly available. You know, they don't have to run it through a legal team, or they don't have to like, you know, actually go and dig up this data on their own in order to stand out in your inbox. So that's a great tip. I want to make sure we cover off on everything that you want to make sure my listeners know. What else is there that we might have not dived into that you think is worth highlighting before we end the conversation?
Yeah, I think it's just really important for people to know that you can send a really quality pitch and be disappointed that it doesn't go anywhere. And maybe you feel like the journalist didn't even see it and you've wasted your time. But I'm here to say that if you build relationship with that journalist, like you keep pitching them, they start to recognize your name. You can even, if you want to pitch them past, like when they've indicated they have enough pitches, I'm always more receptive if you open acknowledging that and saying like, hey, I know you've indicated enough pitches, but I would love to work with you in the future. And then just like laying out your pitch from there, that can go a long way too. But yeah, just knowing like journalists are people too. And we, at least I always feel really bad when somebody just has like the most perfect experience for my piece and I just can't like add another expert voice. I can't bog down my piece with expert voices. So just knowing like it is a numbers game, but taking the time to pitch a journalist, like if you continually pitch that person, they are going to eventually recognize your name and what you do. And then just being open and brave to ask them like, hey, I know it didn't work out this time, but can I send you an email with these other experts or these other topics that we could explore? And I feel like a lot of freelancers especially are very open to that because, again, we have to do our own pitching and coming up with our own ideas. So when you just like catapult those for us, it makes our job easier. So people like me are very receptive to establishing relationship with PR.
This is all a really great reminder that a pitch not being used doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't good. Sometimes it just means the timing wasn't right. So I'm really glad you've brought up that point and that reminder for the PRs listening. And as I mentioned, be sure to check out Chris Ann's Substack, The Guide Girl. She has a lot of other reporting or tips for journalists and submission opportunities there. And also on LinkedIn, I follow you on LinkedIn, Chris Ann, and I really enjoy the content that you post there. You do a really nice job, like, I don't know, being personal, but professional at the same time. And I felt like I already knew you, not to sound creepy, before hopping on this call because of just the wonderful storytelling that you do there. So keep at it. And yeah, I will link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes so that listeners can also follow along and learn how to pitch you and hopefully start sharing some really great story ideas for you to work with.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, it was great to be on the show today. I really appreciate you having me here.
Thanks again for listening to the Digital PR Explained podcast. If today's episode sparked any questions or thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. Whether it's about a topic that was covered or something you'd like me to explore in future episodes, let me know. Your input is super valuable. So don't hesitate to reach out. You can connect with me via email, social media, all of which can be found in the show notes on my website. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you can never miss an episode.